That was all that mattered. A line of orcish archers suddenly rose up from hiding and fired at the oncoming enemy. Somehow Varian dodged those shafts that came near him. He had no notion as to what happened behind him. Some of those who followed perished, but others quickly replaced their numbers. There was a sense among the Alliance that a defining moment was upon them, that this charge led by the King of Stormwind would make or break the day. But on the other side, the Horde was more than ready to meet this new challenge. The deadly flight of arrows preceded a rush of heavily armed and armored warriors, both on foot and astride the great direwolves. Still paying no heed to those who followed him, Varian saw the enemy ranks as merely impediments. When the first direwolf reached him, he used Chalamain to slice through one eye and pierce the brain. As the animal fell forward, Varian stepped up atop its head and all but cut the orc rider in two. A blood elf who grabbed for the Lord of Stormwind pulled back with his hand lost. Axes and blades tore at his garments and bloodied his body, but none were more than nuisances, and they slowed him not a bit. And though he himself did not notice it, did not feel it, both those who followed and those who faced him thought that they saw in the dust and smoke swirling in his vicinity the darting form of a great wolf. Who first shouted the name was a question none could answer. The Worgen assumed it was one of their own, for had they not been the first to recognize the King of Stormwind as the Ancient's champion? The sentinels believed it either the High Priestess or her general, while those dwarves and humans who had accompanied the expedition from Darnassus thought someone of their ranks was responsible. What mattered was that someone first shouted Varian, and then Goldrin, and those names repeated over and over to become the new battle cry. It was a cry that reverberated through the Horde ranks and sent the first true hint of uncertainty through their minds. The victory should have been theirs long ago. The Alliance should have fallen. What was happening now was not how the magnificent plan had been supposed to play out. And none knew the last more than Garrosh Hellscream. The future that he had envisioned coming to fruition once Ashenvale was in Horde hands now looked so very distant. His ultimate weapon, the crushing power of the Magnetar, had now become a much too visible image of his master strategy gone awry. Even as he thought that, another of the giants went crashing to the ground. Worgen swarmed over the fallen behemoth, seeking especially the throat. One of the Korkron pushed close to Garrosh.
"Warchief, you risk yourself here. We cannot lose you."
"Lose me?"
Garrosh shoved the insolent guard aside.
"I will not hide from battle."
"But the Alliance!"
The Warchief glared, causing the hardened guard to flinch. Garrosh roared another command, sending in reinforcements where the accursed Worgen had weakened his forces. The Alliance's new battle cry pounded in his head. Garrosh could not make out exactly what the enemy called, but he could see how it stirred them to greater effort against his warriors.
"What is that? What words do they shout?"
Another guard answered.
"They cry the name of the Human King, and with it, Goldrin, their title for the great Logosh."
"The Wolf Ancient."
Garrosh's gaze searched the struggle.
"Logosh and Varian Rin."
And as he once more spoke the human's name, the orc leader spotted the Alliance's apparent champion among the enemy encroaching on his position, and Varian Rin spotted him. In silent agreement, they pushed toward one another. Garrosh's personal guard protested, but he slipped in among the other fighters and left his would-be protectors struggling to reach him. Chalamain moved as a blur, cutting and slaying any who stood in the king's way. Brave though orcs, tauren, blood elves, and trolls might be, foolish they were not. There was better chance for glory and life against many others. But one figure did come between the two, varying his intended hunt also. His impetuous thrust almost did what so many had failed to do. However, the cut in Varian's arm was shallow. Brilm, the edge of his axe blade stained with the human's blood, glared at Varian.
"My Magnetar," roared the former mariner bitterly. "My glory and honor! Look what you've done!"
His ferocity forced Varian into momentary retreat. Brilm had not survived for so long without being skilled with the axe, as Haldrissa had discovered to her detriment. There were tricks that he could have even taught Garrosh. Not that such a thing mattered at the moment to the distraught orc. The Magnetar were to have been his way of redeeming himself for all the catastrophes of the journey, especially the lives lost. Now this human, this lone human, was undoing that. Varian had no time for this insane orc. He knew that Garrosh was very close, even perhaps almost within striking range. Yet the former mariner would not be denied. Brilm swung again, and in doing so reminded Varian of his one obvious weakness. The eye patch meant darkness was all that the orc could see on that side, and even though Brilm knew that too, he could still not change that fact. Varian let the orc attack anew, and when the swing pulled Brilm so that his lost eye best faced the human, Varian drove Chalamain into his adversary's chest. Brilm dropped his weapon as Varian pulled Chalamain free. The orc fell to his knees. Still glaring at Varian, he gasped,
"My Magnetar! My—"
The captain crumpled, and Varian swung Chalamain behind his own back. A shock ran through his body as the blade met metal. Half-kneeling, he spun and blocked a second swing. Both times an inhuman wail preceded the clash.
"I knew you'd deflect both,"
Garrosh rumbled in honest admiration as he loomed over Varian.
"You would not be who you are if you could not."
"I'd be dead," Varian answered lightly. "I'd be you."
The war chief chuckled and attacked. Chalamain and Gorhowl bit at one another once, twice, three times. Their wielders brought them together so quickly that rather than sparks, it was as if lightning played over the human and the orc. Varian stumbled over a corpse. Garrosh chopped downward, intending to cleave him in two. The king rolled to the side, came up, and lunged. Now it was Garrosh's turn to retreat. He kept Gorhowl up, saving his throat twice, then used the hefty reach the axe provided him to stave off Varian until the orc was able to regain his footing. Once more, sword and axe joined together. Garrosh sought to catch the blade with the curve of Gorhowl's head, but Varian withdrew the point at the last moment. He then tried to drive under the war chief's defenses, only to have the orc block Chalamain with the flat of the axe.
"You only delay the inevitable,"
shouted Garrosh.
"The day of the Alliance is at an end. The Horde is Azeroth's future. The Horde should fear the end of day. With the end of day comes the night, and with the night comes the Worgen,"
Varian retorted. The gap that had separated them from the other combatants around them closed at that moment. Warriors locked in desperate combat flowed into the pair, pressing them into one another. The eyes of the human and the orc met long, and both saw death in the other's gaze.
"Pray to your spirits," the king flatly stated. "I shall do so. You'll need a proper guide to the afterlife, human."
With a roar, Garrosh shoved as hard as he could. Varian slammed into those behind him. The war chief cut a savage arc, Gorhowl's mournful cry sending those closest scattering again. Varian cut off the cry with Chalamain, first deflecting the axe, then using a twist of his wrist to enable the sword to bring the orc's weapon to the side. With his fist, Garrosh hammered the human's shoulder. Varian gritted his teeth as his bones shook. Seeking to stop the attack, he brought his blade between his shoulder and the pounding fist. The war chief swung at his other, now unprotected, shoulder. Varian tossed Chalamain to his other hand, then tilted the blade toward Gorhowl.
But although he kept Gorhowl from crushing his shoulder, the axe still cut across the upper arm. The king grunted in renewed pain as he shifted away. Charlemagne avenged him quickly. Varian had long ago learned to wield his sword with either hand, although one would always be favored over the other. Garrosh reacted too slowly to the fact that his human foe could handle Charlemagne well even now. The tip of the sword drew a red line along the war chief's chest, just below the throat. Suddenly, another axe entered the fray. One of the Corcron had reached the struggle, and in keeping with his duties, sought to protect Garrosh. The guard threw himself bodily toward Varian, his unexpected intervention leaving the king in desperate straits. Another Corcron came at Varian from the opposite direction. Their axes were not Gorhowl, but they were well bloodied and wielded by expert hands. The Corcron slashed and swung, pushing Varian back. Garrosh growled angrily at his guards, but his words were drowned by the battle. Both Corcron looked upon Varian with malevolent eagerness. With his death they would not only serve their war chief, but also bring a claim upon themselves. The Lord of Stormwind read their reflexes, recognized their moves. He let one guard press ahead of the other. As the first Corcron's anticipation of striking the fatal blow rose, Varian shifted his grip on Charlemagne and threw it like a spear. Caught unawares by the unorthodox maneuver, the foremost guard left himself open. The force of Varian's throw sent the blade deep into his foe. Before the second Corcron could make sense of matters, Varian had snatched away the dying guard's axe. With the full force of his might, he swung at his other adversary's leg. The axe all but separated the limb. Screaming, the orc fell to one side. Varian plucked Charlemagne free, then skewered the wounded Corcron. Why Garrosh had not pursued his two guards became evident as the orc buried Gorhowl in the skull of a riderless nightsaber. The cat did not die immediately, its sharp claws seeking one last time to tear the orc to shreds. But with agility more remarkable due to his broad form, Garrosh evaded the feline's paw, then moved in and for a second time let Gorhowl bite into the nightsaber's skull. The war chief turned his dripping axe to Varian. Without a word, the pair renewed their duel. Blood from those who had gotten in their way splattered the human and the orc, but neither paid attention to anything but the other. Horns sounded. Alliance horns. They grew more dominating, though Garrosh did not notice that. What he did notice was that his breathing was growing more ragged. He had expected to slay Varian Wrynn by now and raise the human's severed head for all the hapless Alliance to see. Because of that, he had exerted himself harder than he usually did.
"But this human has come an impossible distance," the orc angrily reminded himself. "He should be the weary one. He should be unable to even lift his sword."
Varian, though, looked as fresh of energy as he had when first they had met. The human's eyes remained unwavering. Garrosh realized that he had far underestimated the human. This king possessed the fury of an orc, and through him the defenders seemed to have gained that fury as well. And only then did the war chief truly see that the stories he had heard about Varian Wrynn were true. Logosh did smile with favor on this human. And why not? They were of a kind. Here was one who had the heart of a great and determined hunter, a great and determined warrior. The heart of a wolf.
"I have been a fool," the war chief knew then. "I should have planned an even greater, more brutal thrust. With such a leader, the Alliance may even take Eastern Ashenvale back."
Unmindful of what went on in his adversary's thoughts, Varian further pressed his attack. He saw Garrosh give ground and knew that the orc did not do so as part of some sinister strategy. The advantage had turned to Varian's. Varian slashed. It was an attack a weary Garrosh knew that he could parry, but his arm moved a fraction slower than it was wont.
Charlemagne dug into the upper arm, striking tensed muscle. Garrosh's entire arm shook. The war chief's grip momentarily failed. Gore Howl slipped from his twitching fingers and fell to the ground. Varian pulled back to strike, and an ear-shattering roar overwhelmed both fighters. Varian and Garrosh looked up to see another Magnetar come rushing down on them. Worgen scurried over his body as he sought to escape their savage attacks. The Worgen had taken Varian's tactics to heart and had improved on them, for as the behemoth reached the pair, his ravaged front legs gave out and he pitched forward. Varian threw himself back. With his good hand, Garrosh risked life and limb to seize Gore Howl. As the shadow of the plummeting Magnetar rushed over him, he leapt. The stricken monster rolled to one side, but the Worgen only clambered to safer ground, then resumed their relentless shredding. The hind legs kicked wildly, forcing Varian to back farther away. Garrosh pushed himself to his feet. He searched for the human, but the struggling Magnetar blocked his view. Rage refueling his strength, the war chief began running to the back of the beast. He would find Varian Wrynn again, and this time there would be a decisive...
War chief!
Another of his Korkrons stepped in front of him. Garrosh tried to shove the fool aside, but suddenly other hands seized him.
Beware!
Shouted another guard. Two others stepped in to protect their leader as several Worgen atop the Magnetar took interest in fresher meat.
Get the war chief away!
As some of his personal guard battled the Worgen, a furious Garrosh roared,
Release me, you damned fools! I must find him. I will have his death, and claim the sword. The battle is lost,
the first Korkron dared to say.
We must get you from here before we are overrun.
Garrosh rewarded the speaker with the back of his hand. As blood dribbled down the guard's mouth, the war chief roared,
The next coward to speak such lies loses his dishonorable head. No lies,
proclaimed another. Several heads bobbed in agreement.
All but one Magnetar are down. Our lines have disappeared. On our south we are among the enemy already. You but have to look and see. If I lie, my head is yours.
Mine also,
said the first, with the rest following suit. Such offers were not given lightly, not with the great possibility that Garrosh would accept. The war chief frowned, then surveyed what he could of the struggle. It took no imagination to quickly see that they were right. The banners of the sentinels could be seen edging closer. His own warriors' banners were little in view, and most of those could be seen farther and farther east. The rest lay no doubt trampled under the enemy's feet.
No, I will find him, even if I must fight every foe on the field. I will not lose.
He tried to go in hunt of Varian again, only to have his own guards seize him and begin to drag him to safety.
We will win Ashenvale yet,
the lead Korkron assured him, as the guards continued their struggle to save Garrosh.
The war chief himself says that one battle is not a war,
reminded another.
We will take Ashenvale. We swear it, war chief.
Garrosh fought with himself to accept what they said. They were repeating what he had always proclaimed to them. Yet the reality was bitter to swallow, especially after the unfinished duel with Varian Wrynn. He shook free of his fearful guards, but to their relief, headed to the mounts to which they had been steering him. In their wake the battle still raged, though it was clear that the alliance continued to gain ground.
Sound the horns,
Garrosh ordered.
Sound the retreat.
A relieved guard signaled the trumpeter who did as commanded. As the hated sound reverberated in his mind, Garrosh mounted. He swung Gore Howl once, listened to it wail as he did, then hooked it onto a brace on his back. Just before Garrosh urged his mount on, he looked over his shoulder to where the first elements of the horde were abandoning the lost cause. It is but a battle, the war chief finally agreed.
Only a battle.
Ashen Vale is our destiny.
Garrosh envisioned again the realm he would build, and in envisioning it, once more knew that it would happen. He led them off, already making plans. This was not over. Not until he had won. And not until Varian Wrynn was dead.
Varian watched the riders fade in the distance, aware that he could have pursued, but had chosen not to do so. Gen Greymane found him near the great corpse of the Magnetor who had separated the human from the orc. The Worgen leader's fur was slick with blood and other gore, as was that of every other of his people.
"You let them go," the King of Gilneas muttered. "I saw you come around and watch the orcs take their war chief and all but carry him off. He fought them so much, we could have easily caught up and taken them. This would have all been over."
Varian continued to watch even after he could no longer see Garrosh. He shook his head as he replied, "Would it have?" "Not at this point. No. Sometimes you have to let the prey run for a while. Then you'll know when the right time does come." Gen's ears flattened as he tried to accept what Varian said. He was saved the trouble by the sudden arrival of a contingent of sentinels led by both the High Priestess and General Chandris.
"Varian Wrynn," Tyrande greeted, smiling. "Elune finally reveals her miracle."
"Her miracle?" Gen cocked his head.
"No, my lady. Elune might have some part in this, as surely Goldrin has. But both would without a doubt give the greatest credit to another."
He extended a clawed hand toward Varian. "A warrior now in balance with himself. A leader now in harmony with the needs of those he commands." The Worgen leader turned to the others.
"Varian Wrynn!"
As the Worgen leader shouted out the name, the other Gilneans began to pick it up. At first they murmured the name, but as their enthusiasm rose, they repeated it louder and louder.
"Varian Wrynn! Varian Wrynn!"
Having already rallied to that name as a battle cry, the Sentinels and the other Alliance fighters readily joined in again. Varian Wrynn did not enjoy such acclamation, but he understood the need for those cheering him to have this outlet. Varian only prayed that it would die down soon. If he hoped for help from the High Priestess, he did not find it there. Still smiling, Tyrande nodded to Gen and said,
"You speak right indeed."
She bowed her head to the uncomfortable Varian, raised her hand, and said loudly,
"Hail to you, King Varian. Hail to you, Savior of Ashen Vale. And perhaps Azeroth as well."
Chapter 29. To Forge a Future. Under the guidance of General Chandris, new and better situated outposts were quickly arranged along the eastern edge of the territory under sentinel protection. A much more tempered Danaea was given command of one of these, and Saura Swiftarrow, while still battlemaster for Warsong Gulch, was promoted to replace the late honored Haldrissa. A commission was also offered to Ileana Moonblaze, but she preferred no higher rank, as it would mean more responsibility and less independence. The Horde had shored up its defenses beyond the river, but the Alliance had reclaimed Silverwing and quickly rebuilt it. The Sentinel outpost had been made the staging ground for supplying the Alliance's counterattack. Tyrande blessed the restored Silverwing in the name of Elune before she and Chandris returned, out of necessity, to Darnassus. They did not return alone.
It is a wonder we were able to call them all back, Malfurion commented as they watched the other representatives of the Alliance gathering for a new summit. I commend you, my love. Do not commend me. With the Horde still active in Ashenvale, it is more necessary than ever that we all come together. Garrosh will not sit long. He bides his time, that is all. It still took much to get them to come. I know that they had already agreed to send troops to Ashenvale, but we both understand that there is more involved if we hope to keep the Horde in check for more than a short time. He hugged her. As I said, you are to be commended. She accepted his hug, only after that explaining, but it was not I who truly convinced them. It was Varian. Varian? Before she could say more, both noticed a figure standing quietly in the shadows to their side. When he realized that they saw him, he finally stepped forward. It was Gerard, his wounds recently healed by the Sisters of Alun. However, despite now being in excellent condition again, the expression on his face was akin to a man who had just learned that he was to die. High Priestess, forgive me, if you can. I will not forgive you for calling me High Priestess, Gerard Shadowsong. I am Tyrande to you. As for what I think you are apologizing for, do not. Her own expression saddened. I am more at fault here than anyone. Poor Maiev. I should have seen how the madness was slowly consuming her. I am only grateful that you and my husband were able to prevent further catastrophe. But she escaped. And no one holds that against you, Gerard, Malfurion interjected. Especially us. He stood straighter. Nevertheless, I swear to both of you that I will find her. She must be brought to justice, and it must be by me. Just be careful that you do not begin to follow the same path of obsession your sister did, Malfurion cautioned. I understand what you say. I will be careful in that regard, but I will not shirk from my duty. The High Priestess acquiesced. No one can deny you that right, and you have proven your abilities, Gerard. Which brings me to my first point. Not all of the Watchers were surely aware of Maiev's plot, and from among those proven innocent, I intend to have a new leader appointed. However, the Watchers will play a different role than what we need from you, Gerard. Me? I do not understand. Once, you ably commanded warriors, and even demigods, in battle for us. With my husband's agreement, I would have you lead a new security force, one designed to deal with troubles such as Maiev. I am honored, and will gratefully accept. Shalasir would be very proud of you, Gerard, the High Priestess added. He tried to reply, but could not find his voice. Shalasir's face filled his thoughts, and for a moment, Gerard forgot that Tyrande and Malfurion stood before him. I like to think so, he finally answered. I can only hope so. She was so much more full of life than me. She should have been the one to live on. The choice is not ours. How we honor those who have passed on with the way we continue our lives is. You sound like Shalasir. The High Priestess put a comforting hand on his shoulder. In regards to Maiev, Chandris will assist you in choosing from among the Sentinels some possible candidates for your new force. I thank all three of you. We will talk more after this. I will not let you down. Gerard bowed, then quickly stepped away. As Tyrande and Malfurion headed toward the summit, Malfurion leaned close and whispered, "Sending him to Chandris. What are you doing?" "Thinking of the future," she replied with a thoughtful smile, "and when the time is more appropriate for them." He held back any further comment as they entered among the representatives. Malfurion noted the swiftness with which the last emissaries sat, and knew that it could only mean that Varian Wrynn had arrived. Sure enough, Tyrande surreptitiously touched his hand. He glanced her way, and in doing so found Varian striding to his place among the others, as if he were not the one who had succeeded in bringing them together again. The King of Stormwind sat down, then looked to Malfurion. The Archdruid took his cue. Stepping forth, he raised his staff. Silence filled the gathering. "We thank you for coming here and again being our guests," he told them as Tyrande stood next to him. "With the events in Ashenvale, time has grown more precious, and so if there is no objection, there is one among you who would speak, and who, I believe, should be heard." With one hand, he indicated Varian. "I present to all of you, King Varian Wrynn of Stormwind." The other rulers and representatives began to applaud, but Varian waved them to silence. He studied them all, then shook his head. "You shouldn't be applauding me. Not a man who was supposed to rule by reason, but did so by rage instead." His self-condemnation brought concerned murmuring from his audience. Malfurion looked to Tyrande, who smiled in reassurance. "An unreasoning, unfocused rage that brought calamity on me and all I held dear, and served only to divide the alliance." Varian's expression forbade anyone to deny what he said. "And for the latter, I apologize." It was no small thing for Varian to apologize for anything, and no one there thought him any weaker for it. The story of his actions in Ashenvale was already becoming legend, despite his desiring otherwise. "The Varian Wrynn who reigned with such rage is dead," he declared. "But in dying, he learned that it wasn't the rage that was at fault, only he. The fury, the anger, must have purpose. It must be the righteous anger of one defending his family, his home, and his friends. It must be the fury that keeps all he loves safe from those who would rip them from him." "Hear, hear," rumbled an enthusiastic Thargus Anvilmar. The other dwarves glanced in his direction, but out of what seemed more satisfaction with his response than annoyance. "And now is the time to focus that fury," the Lord of Stormwind continued without pause. "Now is when we need the Worgen most, not only for their own fury and fire, but to help guide all of us to safely and rightly unleash this side of us. This is our only way to defeat the Horde, and I will say it, perhaps even bring down the terrible Black Dragon Deathwing himself." Malfurion finally understood where Varian was heading, and nodded. Tyrande leaned close and murmured, "You see, we had faith it would work out, and it did." "You had faith. I am still learning." At that moment, the King of Stormwind slammed his fist down. "The Horde has tried once to take Ashenvale. They'll try again. If we let them do so without a fight, we've already lost. They see Azeroth as a new world, and because of their relentless energy, they see themselves as the only ones appropriate to tame it. But we will match that energy and more, and we will fight the Horde and all other foes at every turn until the Alliance and Azeroth can finally claim that peace prevails." This statement brought more murmuring, this time angry. Yet beneath that anger was a growing agreement, a joining of purpose among the factions. Archmage Tervash nodded to Drukhan, who bobbed his head in return. Gelban and the gnomes muttered together, their gazes continuing to return to Varian with obvious admiration, a rare display by gnomes for someone who was a warrior, not an inventor. Everywhere Varian's words struck home, for the moment bringing together even all three dwarven clans. Encouraged by their reactions, Varian thrust on. Anger
fury. You feel it now. This is what we need, if we're to match the energy of the Horde. This, and something more.
Varian signaled to someone unseen near the entrance through which the representatives had again marched. A horn blared, and the anthem of Gilneas played. Led again by Gen Greymane and fully transformed to their astonishing lupine shapes, the Worgen re-entered. They spread out as they reached the center, displaying their might for all to see. Fist on his chest in a salute, the Worgen leader stood directly before Varian. He gazed up at his counterpart and waited. Varian did not look back, but instead addressed the audience as a whole again. When last we were here, the Archdruid sought a vote on full membership of Gilneas and the Worgen by acclamation. I call on you today to recast your vote. What say the rest of you?
Aye,
shouted Curdren.
Aye,
the other dwarven representatives yelled immediately after. A stately female Draenei rose.
I am Ishana, High Priestess of the Aldor, chosen to speak in place of the Prophet. The Draenei cast a vote of aye.
Theramore and the rest of the Alliance factions followed, each repeating their earlier votes. Malfurion hugged Tyronda with one arm as they watched the acclamation build. They made no attempt to take command of the summit. This was Varian's gathering until he deemed otherwise. The king surveyed the assembly, which watched him in anticipation.
Stormwind votes aye, Varian bellowed triumphantly. Gilneas and the Worgen are full members of the Alliance.
The Worgen let out howls of pleasure. From beyond the gathering, other howls arose from the direction of their encampment. Only Gen Greymane did not howl. The Worgen leader stood solemn before Varian.
You honor us, the King of Gilneas declared. But we also honor you, Varian Rin of Stormwind. We honor the champion of Ashenvale.
Now both the Worgen and the other assembled delegates cheered. Malfurion finally left Tyronda to go to the Lord of Stormwind. Varian gratefully let him take over, but first indicated that he had something to whisper to the Archdruid.
When we arrived, there was a missive brought by a Draenei messenger from my son. He wanted to assure me that when he completed his own path with the light, he would return to Stormwind.
Varian eyed Malfurion suspiciously.
Is this some doing of yours, or the High Priestess's?
None whatsoever. This happy news is from Anduin himself, I assure you. I knew nothing about this until you now told me, and I can swear the same for Tyronda. She would not have kept such a thing from me, much less you. The king exhaled.
Then that makes his promise all the more welcome.
Varian continued to drink in the thought of his son's return as the Archdruid, after a congratulatory touch on the human's shoulder, took over. However, if Varian thought his part at an end, he was sorely mistaken. Gilneas and the Worgen are welcomed into the fold, the Night Elf called. And the Worgen are welcomed to a new permanent home here with the Night Elf people. The Worgen howled their gratitude, and the emissaries and their retinues added their applause again. When things had settled down, Malfurion continued, But we must also welcome the man who has brought us together again, and who has also brought the future of the Alliance sharply into focus at last. Varian Rin, King of Stormwind. There was no cry of disagreement, not even from the Dark Iron Dwarves. To a member, the Alliance factions called out the King of Stormwind's name over and over. Varian wanted nothing more than to step back, but instead it was as if his body responded in the reverse, for he found himself moving up next to the Night Elf. The assembly continued to cry out,
Varian! Varian!
The subject of their acclaim shook his head in denial, but no one seemed to care about his opinion. He did not see when Malfurion slipped away to Tyrande again. Varian stood staring back at those who thought of him as not only champion of Ashenvale, but also their very future. He stared at them, and knew that he could never be the Varian that he had been in times past. Never again would he be able to turn from his allies for the mistakes that they had made, not when Varian could at last see how theirs were so insignificant compared to his own.
"I will do what I can," he whispered. "I swear I will, Anduin."
And behind him, the Archdruid and High Priestess watched the events with more than a little satisfaction.
"You were right, Tyrande," Malfurion commented. "This is potentially even more than I imagined. He could very well guide the Alliance to new, fresh heights, just what it needs to compete with the Horde for this Azeroth we have all inherited from Deathwing's madness."
"New, fresh heights," she agreed.
"Perhaps even a new age." The Archdruid frowned. "If the Horde can be defeated, and if Deathwing does not rise anew and unveil some even more heinous plot, as you and I both suspect the accursed dragon intends."
She touched his cheek in some concern.
"You must find some gladness in today's events. I thought you did."
"I do. I do. I find..."
The Archdruid stopped, all thought of their discussion for the moment pushed aside. He stared at Varian Wrynn, who now had taken to heart the summit and spoke to the others of what they needed to do next in terms of Ashenvale and beyond. At the same time, Varian Wrynn felt a presence surround him, a presence that stirred his confidence in his decision. He did not have to ask who that presence was. It could only be one being. And from his position, Malfurion watched as, for the briefest of moments, the form of Goldrin, Logosh, superimposed itself over Varian. Malfurion was no over-imaginative sort. He knew that the vision he had seen was neither a product of his troubled mind nor a trick of his eyes. The Archdruid glanced at Tyrande.
"Yes," she murmured, "you see true. Goldrin chose well his champion. They are of a kind. The Wolf Ancient. It was said that in the early days of the world he used to howl his fury against the moons, against Ilun. Perhaps, through this choice, he has redeemed himself in the eyes of Ilun as well."
She studied the human.
"Such a choice. Varian Wrynn truly has the spirit, the heart of the wolf, and all our hope for the future."
Seeing that, and hearing Tyrande's words, Malfurion Stormrage felt a sudden weight lifted from his own soul. He was very aware that mortality would claim him at some point, perhaps even sooner than he prayed. Since that realization, the Archdruid had not been able to shake his fear of the tremendous burden on those who would follow him, those who would not have him to help protect them. But now Malfurion saw his great hubris. He should not have worried. It seemed as if Azeroth itself would find the ones who would next take up the banner, doing what they could to preserve their world, and even perhaps finally forging a true, lasting peace. And whoever they were, wherever they came from, Varian Wrynn, scion of the Wolf Ancient, would be there to guide them. World of Warcraft, Wolfheart, was written by Richard A. Knack and read by Scott Brick.
It was recorded by Aaron Seiden at North Hollywood Sound in Los Angeles. Editing and post-production by Frog Pond Productions. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. The post-production producer was Rick Bradley. World of Warcraft, Wolfheart, was directed by Cameron Dayton. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.